Happy Tuesday, everyone, on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, America's favorite Buccaneers podcast, featuring the custodian of Canton himself, Ira Kaufman, formerly of the Tampa Tribune, now of JoeBucksFan.com fame. What a proud podcast this is. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com with Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com. And Ira, how are you?
I'm doing well. Domination is the word of the day, my friend.
Domination.
And not the kind of domination that you think of immediately with Eyes Wide Shut and some other movies over there, Steve. You know, I'm just throwing these things out so that our listeners know who they're dealing with over
there. What the hell are you talking about? All right. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is on. The Buccaneers were victorious. And, of course, the Ira Kaufman Podcast is always presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. When it comes to luxury vehicles, nothing beats the performance and sophistication of a Cadillac. Much like you, Ira, nothing beats your performance and sophistication.
You know what's great about this win, Steve?
Ira, let me finish the Cadillac commercial. Come on, we love Cadillac.
It was as real as a Cadillac. That's what's going on with this win. Nothing fluky about it. Now go finish, and then I'll make my points, my friend.
All right, during the season's best sales event, get the best offers on the Cadillac you've always wanted, like the 2016 CT6 Prestige Sedan, leased for $589 a month with zero dues. Sign and drive. Visit Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or edmorescadillactampa.com. And, of course, you definitely want to visit edmorescadillacbrandon.com for all of their fantastic lease offers, 2016, 2017. Definitely want to check out the sign and drive opportunities there. Now, Ira, this was a big win for the Bucs, man. And the people listening, they want to hear you. They want to hear the custodian. Bucs go to 4-5. Saints drop to 4-5 with a heartbreaking loss. Carolina 3-5 with a heartbreaking loss. The Falcons go to 6-4. Where are we here?
First of all, who knows what it's going to take to win an NFC wildcard game? This could be one of those years where 9-7 gets you in. The Bucs are 4-5. KC, is 4-0 at home. They had a heck of a win against Carolina. But I'm a Chiefs fan. I know the Chiefs very well, Steve. Their offense is kind of pedestrian. It's not very good. They don't have a lot of weapons, especially if Macklin doesn't play. And nobody's mistaken Alex Smith for Derek Carr or Matt Ryan. The Bucs made Jay Cutler look very bad today, gentlemen. Very bad. And what I like is this was a complete victory. The play at the end of the half was fluky, Lee, but there was nothing gimmicky or fluky about this Buck victory.
No, there was not. And Dirk Cutter said in his postgame remarks that he and Mike Smith, the Bucks defensive coordinator, they thought they were a little bit passive, lax. They didn't use those words, but that was the gist. Their defense wasn't aggressive enough. So they decided to kind of unleash the hounds a little bit today, and today was a result. But I can't get call me Debbie Downer, but we're talking Jay Cutler. They shut down. Jay Cutler at times is a dynamic quarterback, and other times he looks like he's Mike Glennon. The guy is so inconsistent. And I did think as he's a gifted quarterback. Let's not pretend he's got gifts. I mean, lest we forget, he damn near became the Bucs quarterback some 8 years ago. I thought Cutter, the way the Bucs defense was getting riddled by the passing attack with decent quarterbacks, I thought Cutler was going to come in here with Alshon Jeffrey, yeah. And Eddie Royal. I thought they were going to light this place up. And to the Bucs' credit, they didn't do that. But I don't know if that's the Jay Cutler roller coaster, and they caught Cutler on the downside, or if Cutler was actually on the upside and the Bucs played that well. I don't know which way to take. I really don't.
Perspective, Steve, tells us that the Bears' offense isn't very good, with Cutler or without Cutler. It's not a very good offense. They don't have a lot of weapons. Well, that rookie back looks good. He's having a nice season. And he ran well. I wasn't thrilled with the Buck run defense today. I thought their pass defense was outstanding. Led by a pass rush. Led by blitzing
what?
Linebackers.
A
pass rush, Mr. Isbitz.
You might have to define that, but we did see it today.
I saw, now Darryl Smith, correct me if I'm wrong here, Isbitz, he didn't make the defensive stat sheet. He did a Levante David from a couple of months ago. He wasn't on the sheet.
Goose
but
egg.
You know what? I saw him come off the right edge, I believe it was the left edge, and get in Cutler's face and cause an interception. That doesn't show up on a defensive game stats. Check me on that, Steve. I don't believe Darryl Smith's name is on there. But the fact is that he, Lavonte David, and Quan Alexander, Lee, took turns being very effective blitzers. And if that puts a little more pressure on the Bucs secondary, Mike Smith said, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trade off because I got to get the heat on Cutler. Steve, you made the point last week. When Cutler has time, he can be an effective quarterback. When he doesn't have time, he makes a lot of mistakes. We saw that today.
Well, a little reality check here. Look, Jay Cutler was brutal. I mean, he was terrible right out of the gate. Terrible, lifeless. They did have a running game. They opened up on the run game. No question about it. Darryl Smith, no, he did not have show up in the stat sheet. He was also off the field a lot. The Bears threw quite a bit. Lavonte David, one tackle today. I'm not going to.
The
know.
Heat was on, Steve. You're not acknowledging it.
I'm acknowledging the heat, all right. The pass rush was legit today, I think. Clinton McDonald provided a spark early, beating his man, getting a sack.
He did.
Robert Ayers, I talked to him after the game.
Noah Spence made some plays.
Noah Spence made a big play. But, it was the starting defensive line today, and you can't discount that. We haven't seen that since opening day. Since Robert Ayers left the field in week two. So, but I don't know. I just think Jay Cutler was so bad, so brutal in all phases of his quarterback play that it's tough to judge. But it's very, very exciting for the Bucs defense. Thought the cornerbacks played well.
I got to say this before we, Mike Smith crowing about, I decided to break out the blitzes and do this and do that. Calm down. And I like Mike Smith, but shame on Mike Smith or shame on Dirk Cutter. Shame on someone for taking 9 weeks to figure this out. I wrote this twice this past week on JoeBucksFan.com. You know, the Mike Smith and not so much Cutter, but Mike Smith the last couple weeks is like bemoaned. We don't have a pass rush. Hello? This team hasn't had a pass rush in a decade. You didn't know that when you got hired? You couldn't figure this out? You're supposed to, A, coach the guys up, or B, find alternatives. Find a workaround. And so when, Mike Smith was starting like, we don't have a pass rush, and that's why they're giving us so many yards. It's like, no kidding. Bucs fans have seen this for 10 years, and you're just catching on. So shame on the Bucs coaching staff, whether it be Cutter, whether it be Mike Smith. I apologize for saying that after a win, after a impressive win, that it took them this long to figure out, scratch your head. Let's try something different. About time.
And now let's remember, Steve, I like the fact that the Kempers urging a sense of caution here going into Arrowhead Stadium. Now teams will look at the film of what the Bucs did against the Bears. They will prepare for it. They know that, I don't think Smith had much of a choice, Steve. They weren't getting there with the four-man rush. The three of us noticed that 5 weeks ago. Now, I will say this. Robert Ayers' presence, when he plays like he did today, it makes a difference, Lee. Mm-hmm. He plays with energy. He plays with fire.
Yes.
And he has a positive effect on his teammates when he's playing well. And we did notice him today, Steve. That was a difference.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I talked to him about today. And he, he's a guy who, if he's playing pretty well, will rub off on his teammates. It's one, leadership can be overblown, but not on the field. I mean, this guy's giving his all. He's getting after it. And his versatility was on display today, inside, outside. And part of that was helped, as Ayers told me, was because finally the defensive line could actually had a game where they could pin their ears back. Yeah, that doesn't happen very often around
here. They
had
a lead.
They had a lead, and they had third and longs. And it was a different kind of game for them in a lot of ways. So a lot of positives there.
Secondary played well, Steve. I thought Conte, he didn't play the Hail Mary very well, Lee.
It was a fluke play.
It was a fluke play. He needs to knock that down. I mentioned in my takeaways, and I'm going to say it right here, next time the Bucs are in that situation, I want Mike Evans on the field. I want Mike mm-hmm. Evans on the goal line. If Keyshawn Johnson can do it, Lee, and he's 6'3" uh-huh. and can't jump like Evans, that's a perfect play for Mike Evans to spike that ball, knock it down.
You're right. And to be fair, better that's happening at the end of a first half than at the end of a game.
I thought that was, Steve, besides the final score, I thought the biggest takeaway from this game, positive standpoint for a Buck fan, is the mental toughness that the Bucs showed at the start of the third quarter. Instead of dwelling on that play, which a lot of Buck teams of the past would have done, Steve, and you know that, they would have gone into halftime droopy, We had a 14-point lead. Now we let him back in the game. What are we doing? People looking at Conte. Knock that ball down. What are you doing? Instead, Winston directs a 77-yard drive with that fantastic pirouette to Mike. That was the play of the game. There's no question.
That's an excellent point. I didn't think of it. That's an excellent point. And I'll even throw icing on the cake to your point to further reinforce your premise. They're playing with third-string offensive linemen because guys are getting hurt. And no excuses. Go out there, pound the ball. And so, Ira, that's a hell of a good point.
The Bucs go 3-and-out with that first possession in the third quarter, Steve.
Uh-oh.
We might have ourselves a ball game.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit.
Always.
No, just a little bit. It's all happy times. The Bucs victory. It's Victory Tuesday here at JoeBucsFan.com. I'm going to say the biggest play of this game, Ira, was with the Bears right on the doorstep of the end zone. Right there. Noah Spence with a strip sack. And you know, fumble recovery there by Jay Cutler. That's a huge play. That's points off the board right there. I understand what you're saying, but the Bears offense was doing nothing all day. If Jameis throws the ball away after that scramble and they punt, you know, that's not a game changer. But Noah Spence was a real game changer right there. So I'm going to quibble with you there. That's
both big plays.
But first safety of his life.
Nice.
I asked him, I said, you know, when's the last time you got a safety? He goes, never. I said, not even high school? He goes, never.
Guys, look at the things we're not talking about today. Aguayo, pass rush. You know, nobody cares that Doug Martin wasn't very effective. I just think it was important to get him. He's rusty. Get him back ready for Kansas City. He'll play better at Arrowhead. They didn't run the ball very well.
Steve's got a good quote from Martin if he wants to use
So Mike Evans was not a compelling factor, except for that great pass by Jameis and a big catch by Evans. But he went more than two quarters without catching a ball, Lee. And the Bucs still had a big lead.
Give John Fox credit for that.
Yeah. So it's the things we're not talking about that tells you how well the Bucs played today.
Yeah, I mean, they played well. They earned this win. All phases, like you started off the podcast saying, full victory, special team, across the board. So, I mean, you know, we just don't know what this feels like. It's like an eclipse or a victory by Donald Trump.
Supermoon. It's a supermoon.
Is it a stretch, Steve, to say it keeps them relevant? Is that a stretch?
Stretch. It's reality. They are relevant. You know, they are relevant. And I'll go to not disagree with you, Ira, to agree with you, to embrace the loving spirit of...
Hold on. I want our listeners to...
Pace themselves.
Pace themselves. Yeah. You better be sitting down.
Now you were talking about the Buccaneers' mental fortitude coming out of halftime. I'm just going to take that a step further because I did think the Bucs would lose this game today. I didn't think they were mentally tough enough.
You picked the Bears to win.
Yeah, you know, by a point. I figured the Bucs weren't mentally tough enough to bounce back. There's nothing they had shown led you to believe that they had this in them. And you know what? They came out and they did what they're supposed to do. Took care of business. Mentally, they were strong throughout the game. Jameis, very strong. What errors did this guy make?
He played an excellent game.
I mean, he's playing a hell of a quarterback. Lee wrote a story on JoeBucsFan.com. What was that titled there, Lee?
Which one was this?
Your headline on Jameis, something godly, or I don't remember what it was. Behold or something.
Yeah, Behold the franchise.
So, you know, exciting time for them to play a full game. But you're damn right they're relevant, and Bucs fans finally have some hope. They're tied for second place, 4-5. For a while, you're going to have to put away your favorite one-liner of, you know, possibly finishing six straight years in the basement.
Look at the way the Saints lost today, and look at the way the Panthers lost.
Crushing fashion.
Crushing
fashion. What's interesting, though, and probably bad for the Bucs, is the Saints play Carolina.
That's right.
On Thursday night. So somebody's got to win, and somebody's got to bounce back mentally from that. But I think the loser is done for the year in that game. That's almost like an elimination game. But Ira, let's look a little deeper on Sunday's game. Fans are still on a high, and let me take this to one of your favorite guys on the Bucs, George Warhop. This guy starts Caleb Benenach at left guard today. He had a couple of rough moments, but a good game, and he's got Ben Gottschalk at center after Evan Smith goes down, and the Bucs were fine. That's pretty stunning.
Now, wait a minute. They didn't run the ball with abandon over here, DeKemper. Let's not go crazy. Steve, Lee threw a little Debbie Downer in a few minutes ago, so I'm going to throw my one Debbie Downer. And it's legit. As I said in my takeaways, this is not a game for the DeMar Dotson scrapbook.
Ooh.
It was not. And I believe even Dotson acknowledged it in the locker room.
He did.
He did not play well, Lee. He did not. I believe there were a couple of Bear linebackers, 92 and 97, that took equal opportunity abusing Mr. Dotson. Dotson hasn't had a bad year.
He has.
He had a bad day.
He's had a bad year.
See, now I gave you the perfect opportunity to disagree with
him. He's not had a good year, but I was discussing this Sunday night in press box with some of our comrades, and I asked a couple of guys. Three or four guys were sitting around. I said, is that Dotson's worst game of his career? And I think
I think it's the worst game I've seen Dotson play, Steve. I think it is.
Well, there's some positive for you. You're talking about, to reinforce the offensive line, like Steve said, you had these third stringers coming in. That, right. You know, Warhop knows what he's doing, and I think the Bucks fans are awful critical of the offensive line because they read these clowns that masquerade as some football savants that live in England and Ireland, et cetera. They don't have a clue to what they're talking about. And all of a sudden they think, the Donovan Smiths of the world are the worst pieces of trash known to the NFL, which
is
garbage.
And they swear by Pro Football Focus,
which is what
gentlemen.
I'm referring to indirectly there. Yeah. But at any rate, the Bucks, you look around the NFL, the offensive lines are porous.
Yes.
And so the Bucks got depth here, so that's a good thing. But I think Steve was starting to talk about this a minute ago, but I'll say this about Jameis. And even though a couple of people on Twitter somehow accused me of being racist and anti-Jameis Winston Sunday morning on Twitter, which I was like, you guys clearly don't read Joe Buck's end of that. You literally believe that. At any rate, Jameis had a good game today, but what impressed me about Jameis today, I think he took a step. I'm not saying he took a step to being, the next Peyton Manning, but he took a step in that. He spread the ball around. Good quarterbacks make guys better on their team. He was playing with the Freddie Martinos of the world, straight from the Vero Beach Ramada Inn, the Velvet Lined Lounge, and the Cecil Coopers of the world. Cecil Shorts of the world was unemployed in
September.
That's
his bitch man, Cecil Shorts. We had a sighting today,
and a Harvard man himself, Cam Bray. He's making these guys look better. As we stated earlier, we touched upon this earlier. John Fox did a hell of a job just smothering Mike Evans. He's basically going to say,
"This guy's not going to beat us.
If I'm going to get beat, I'm going to get beat by the Freddie Martinos of the world." And Jameis was distributing the ball to these guys. Jameis had 300 and some yards passing. That's a step in his progression, I think. A good quarterback makes guys better on his team. He made Freddie Martino look like an NFL player. He made Cecil Shorts look legitimate. He made Cam Brate look like Kellen Winslow almost.
Let's give Brate his props over here, Steve. I mean, he's got absolutely 35 catches. He's got 5 touchdowns. He caught all 7 balls that were sent his way on Sunday. 7 for 7. That ain't bad,
it's pretty good,
Lee. And you know what? I'm not comparing him to Greg Olsen. I'm not. I wouldn't do that. I'm not comparing him to Ron Gronkowski. But you know what? I'll take him over Atlanta's tight ends. New Orleans doesn't have much for as far as Breeze is concerned. Let's give Cameron Brate his props, Steve. He's playing well.
Well, it's extraordinary, and if you look at it this way, Ira, Brate now has 35 catches on the season on 49 targets.
Very high
percentage.
That's
extraordinary.
Yes. That's 70%.
35 catches on 49 targets. That's stunning. And this guy just keeps catching the football. They throw him the football, he catches the ball. He can catch the ball in traffic, catches the ball on both sides of the field. Now, Ira, because the people want to hear you. You are the sage of Tampa Bay
Listen
sports.
Listen to him, Lee. Set me up for something.
Here's a question for you. How good is Cameron Brate? You've seen a lot of tight ends, guys who catch the ball. He's not a stout blocker. He's not a giant liability in the blocking game, but that's not who he is. How good is this guy?
Well, he's good enough to make everybody forget about ASJ. Nobody's talking about Safarian Jenkins, who, by the way, isn't doing much. Right, Steve?
Much.
And I'm sure you're not surprised.
Well, I'm sure he's doing plenty in the toilet.
The fact is, this guy's gonna score 8 or 9 touchdowns. I'm interested in touchdowns, Steve. That's what I want.
Score.
For a tight end. And the guy's going to have 8 or 9. And Jason Witten's going to have 8 or 9, which is not bad company, gentlemen. And Greg Olsen's going to have 9 or 10. And Gronkowski's going to have 12. That's why he's Gronkowski. What's the ceiling on Cameron Brate?
That's what I'm asking. How good is this guy? 25 years old, out of Harvard, third year.
We've been ripping on Jason Light for so long here, guys, about free agency and different things. Let's give him some props. He plucked them off New Orleans practice squad 14 months ago, and the guy's done nothing but score touchdowns, Steve. So, you know, I don't think he's going to Canton, but I think tight end is no longer a huge concern for this football team. How do you like that?
I like it. For the nerds out there who love to email things, yes, we know Brate was picked up in 2014. He didn't do much. Just sort of was invisible, got his shot, then he got cut, came back. I think it's exciting. It's exciting.
Undrafted Harvard man.
But you've got a lot of people who wonder, Bucks fans wonder this, and Lee can maybe address this. Tim Wright was a fantastic, incredible rookie tight end, and the Bucks even had no threats at wide receiver that season. For the most part, Mike Glennon is just pounding the rock to this guy, throwing this ball to Tim Wright, catches 55 balls, goes to New England, and you know,
there was a problem with Tim Wright. There's a problem. He had talent, and now he's basically run himself out of the league. There's a problem. I think there's a problem with Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Well, there is.
It goes beyond talent, Steve. It's more than talent.
Gotcha.
Brate has the got to, the want to. That I wish would permeate the locker room a little bit more around here.
Well, I've heard with Tim Wright, and I heard this from a couple people, both management types, not necessarily with the Bucks. Wright's biggest issue is he's a glorified receiver. Can't block.
Block at all.
Yeah, so you're limited right there. And let's be honest, if you're going to bounce around the NFL, that tells me you're a marginal NFL player. So a marginal NFL player who can't block, there's not a whole lot.
You know, he's the guy that Belichick wanted in that deal. Steve,
and
he wanted him,
and he caught six or seven touchdowns and got a Super Bowl ring out of it. So it worked out for them,
you know. But then,
fans wonder, hey, we've seen flash in the pan tight ends before. Is Brate the real deal?
That's why Brate has the look of a guy that's going to be in the league 8 or 9.
Yeah,
years.
he's the anti ASJ. ASJ was he was sculpted by the gods. I mean, he had the body that made you drool. He had the skills that made you drool. Unfortunately, he had a hollow head, to be polite.
Just like Winston's the anti-Josh Freeman, Steve,
yeah,
in a lot of respects.
The work ethic.
Well, you know, he's the anti-Freeman.
I got you.
Freeman, sculpted, talent, throw the ball a mile. And by the way, Winston threw some nice deep balls today, which was very nice for Buck
Refreshing.
Fans to see. Refreshing.
Oh, he had a great, great game, period.
And Cutler was brutal. He was brutal.
Brutal.
I can't disagree with you. Brutal.
It's great. I love seeing, you know, and it was great to see us, as I put out on Twitter, it was great to see our guy playing pitch and catch today instead of the other team doing that against us.
And Buck guys running wide open instead the last 2 weeks.
Pitch and
we
catch.
We saw Raiders and Falcons running wide open.
Exactly. Now, of course, Ira, your podcast is here Tuesdays, Thursdays. Occasionally we change it up so people don't get too set in their ways.
Three columns a week.
Presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Your columns appear Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And, of course, your 10 takeaways after each game. You're a very busy, busy, busy man.
Steve, this begs the question. Can the Bucks string wins together? That begs the question. Can they follow up? You know, they had the nice win against Atlanta. They didn't show up in Glendale, Lee.
No.
They didn't show up.
No show.
So they have, you know, and I'm not counting beating the 49ers after beating the Panthers, Steve. That doesn't count. 49ers are horrible.
I got you.
So they have a nice win on the West Coast, and then they can't take advantage of 23 penalties against the Raiders. Steve, there's no continuity. And that is exactly why when somebody asked Cutter a question today about where you stand at 4-5, and you're the only team from the NFC South to win, he wanted no part of it. He wanted no part of it because he's scared that they're going to get full of themselves after a win against the lousy Bears.
Yeah,
team.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's they should, though. I understand where Cutter's going, but this team should be very confident right now. They should feel good.
They're getting guys back.
They're getting guys back. You got your whole starting defensive line back.
Got your running back.
You got the entire starting defense on the field. Now, what team in the NFL can say that?
In week 10 coming
25% of them, maybe?
Unless you count Jacquees Smith. I mean, he's...
I don't count him.
You don't count him.
He wasn't a starter on opening day. Okay. Will Golston got that nod. And yes, we'd love to have
him. I dare
him.
Say not another team in the league has their starting
maybe
defense.
Maybe 5 or 6 or 7, but that's pretty special. You know, you've got your quarterback playing well. He's playing very well.
Your running back is back.
Running back's back. Yeah, all right, you got some issues otherwise, but they're pretty damn healthy right now. So that they should have that confidence. 4-5, they know they're in second place. They know that the division is within reach. All they got to do is, they know what they got to do. They're all game back in the standings from Atlanta. So
the Chiefs are all bumped up. Macklin didn't play today, Steve. Justin Houston.
What kind of guy from Brooklyn's a Chiefs fan?
My brother was a Raiders fan, so I got to take the opposite team, DeKemper. He liked the Celtics, I like the Sixers. He liked the Dodgers, I like the Giants. May I add, for the 1960s, I got my ass kicked. He was killing me.
You didn't have a Frank Gifford jersey in your room? Or
hated every New York team. Every New York team.
Interesting. Well, that explains a lot. That explains a lot.
You and Russo.
But, they're 4-5, Steve. You're enthused about this. I see a little twinkle in your eye. I don't know if that's because you're driving a Cadillac, but I see a twinkle.
I'm just happy that myself, Lee, and other Bucks fans were not kicked in the balls again by another home loss.
Did Mike
fantastic.
Evans' remarks take anything away from this win, as far as you're concerned, Steve?
Mike Evans' remarks on... just to reset it for folks, because sometimes things get mixed up around the water cooler, if you will. Mike Evans sat down for the national anthem before the game. He was asked about it after the game.
Fans noticed
nearby. He was heard it from a lot of fans. And Evans was sort of a bizarre and kind of, I felt a little bit bad for the guy because his response was a little bit immature. Like, he clearly hadn't thought out how he was going to answer this to the media. I mean, so basically Mike Evans said, I was protesting the election of Donald Trump.
He should have known that he was going to be asked, Steve. He should have known
I'm sure he did. Yeah. It sounded stupid in a sense that, okay, you're not protesting things before the election, but you're going to protest after the election. And what are you protesting? The guy won. And they asked Mike Evans, hey, are you protesting because you thought something was rigged or the validity of the election? He's like, no, I just didn't like...
Just the fact that he was elected.
Just the fact he was elected and things are... If he was elected, I don't like what's going on in America.
Now, it was kind of odd. Lee's phone blew up after the game.
Because I'm not really sure what he was protesting. I get that, you don't like he was elected, so what do you... I don't know. If you're going to make a protest and you're going to get drilled on the media, have something ready.
Maybe he didn't. To your point,
Lee, what's the reaction? What was the reaction?
It's both sides. You could predict. A lot of fans, and one said, there goes my season tickets. That's when it jumped out at me. Here's my thing about Evans and this whole democracy protest. Okay, I can understand you don't like Trump. We live in a democracy. If it really, really enrages you, you're free to move. I had a relative that moved because of George Bush. They live in Canada. And
he won it fair and square, Steve. Nobody's arguing about the validity of the election.
Everybody has the right to protest and voice their opinion. To Evan's credit, he wasn't out there breaking windows and trashing city streets or what have you.
Did anybody?
I just thought it was very. I guess disappointed is the word. I like Mike. He's a good guy. I'm disappointed that he chose of all times to do it Veterans Day weekend. And he said, "I didn't mean to insult the veterans." Well, you know what? If I walk into Mike Evans or anybody's living room and drop a number 2 on the living room floor and say, "Well, I didn't mean to do that." Well, you did.
Steve, did he? Anybody ask him if he voted?
Nope. No, and frankly...
Because Kaepernick said he didn't vote.
I got to say, I just like the comedy of it all. I just think sometimes some of it's just kind of funny. It's like Trump. Let's go to Donald Trump for a minute. Trump said the election was rigged for months, and he won. What does that mean? It's just, to me, it's very...
does it take away from the win for you?
To me, it's very comedic. No, because I just don't really care. Mike Evans can protest whatever he wants. He has a right to do it. I don't really care if he's going to start protesting the employment of cheerleaders or other things that are more important.
Or he becomes a neo-prohibitionist.
Yeah, look where your priorities are, Isbitz. It's outstanding.
I'd like to, if these guys want to protest, I'd like to see them start to protest home losses at Raymond James Stadium because there's something to protest and go out there and lay it out on the field like they did on Sunday. The political stuff, I do fear, though, it could be a distraction for the team because these guys haven't had much experience with this. Dirk Cutter doesn't have experience with national scandals.
We'll see if this thing has any legs, Lee. We'll see what he does with the anthem in Kansas City.
He said he's going to continue to do it. So if he's going to continue to do it,
Mike Evans said he'll do it the rest of the season. And he was very adamant about that. And he wasn't, you know, he was. And just so people understand, standing in front of Evans when he spoke, he wasn't bitter or angry.
No, he was very
like
cool.
He was just a.
This is his way.
This is my deal and my decision. And he said he didn't get permission from the organization or ask for it. Just, hey, this is my deal. And that's it. So,
look, other people have spoken out, guys.
What about you? What do you think?
Well, you've heard Greg Popovich. So Stan Van Gundy, all of a sudden these NBA coaches. Why are they saying these things? Well,
I can tell you why.
Lee, are they saying it because they're talking to their players?
Kind of indirectly?
I don't think this should take away from what the Bucks put on the field, Steve, this Sunday, Lee. And if they can get back to 500 in Kansas City, I think this issue will quickly flame out.
Locally, yes. Nationally, absolutely not. Because nationally, the Bucks, there's no. Unfortunately, I'm not a broadcaster. There's no traction. No traction at all. But when controversy happens, i.e., Mike Evans doing this on Veterans Day weekend, you're damn right that's going to have legs. Well, and for nationally, that's a huge story.
Is this the only time the Bucks make national news, Steve?
Yes.
Well, there are two or three elements here, really. Or three elements. One, just for me personally, I can't claim for 2 seconds. Motives of NBA coaches. I'm not even going to pretend to think that they are saying what they're saying other than that's what they believe and that's fine. But as far as Evans goes, he is playing at an elite level. So the nation of fantasy football players and the nation of Bucks fans views him as a superstar. Jason Light on the pregame show Sunday was talking about how Evans, dare he say, he doesn't want to sound too cocky, but Evans has reached the elite class of NFL receivers. So it's because of who Mike Evans is now. He is that big name, and if he continues to play well, this spotlight on this is going to grow because Evans will get interviewed about it, and other guys will be asked about it, and somebody will start writing, oh, well, Evans is a lone wolf on his team. What's that like, Mike? You're the only guy pro. You know, I don't know.
And all the argument shows on ESPN talk about all this.
What, was Cutter asked about it today, Lee?
I didn't know anything about it until after the press conference.
Okay.
I mean, I saw someone had tipped us off, and I saw a direct message on Twitter, but I didn't know if it was accurate or not until I got after Cutter's press conference, after James' press conference, when I got back up to the press box and talked to Steve, and Steve told me what was going on. And until then, I knew.
I don't think Evans is going to talk about this anymore. I don't think he'll talk about it.
I don't know. It's hard to say. But given that it's Trump-specific, that's what makes it look.
Well,
I mean, you're protesting something that's not going to go away. You can't change. I don't know. It's just kind of. I like the comedy value. That's me. But here's the thing, Ira. Here's the thing. Evans. Well, yeah. You know what?
There's something about it that I think is commendable. There's a portion of it. That is commendable because he feels that Trump doesn't represent his views. He has the right to say that.
Sure.
He's not trying to change anybody's mind. He's not saying he's not going to play hard. Lee, he's not saying it's going to affect his play. And we didn't see on Sunday that it did. I disagree with my esteemed colleague. Not you, because you're not esteemed, but the Kemper. I don't think this thing's going to have legs.
Well, here's why.
I don't think he'll talk about it.
I had a brain fart before, but here's why it's going to have some legs, Ira. You know, and you know, you could tell me I'm wrong, but you know that our newspaper in town, the beloved Tampa Bay Times.
How many newspapers do we have, Stephen?
Oh, we got the Lakeland Ledger. Shopper. We've got the Bradenton.
The Laker.
Bradenton Herald, our good friend.
The Laker.
Anyway, the beloved big newspaper in Florida and in town, Tampa Bay Times.
And how are they going to interpret it?
The folks that kicked you to the curb when they could have had you in their clutches. These fools.
Keep going, fools. My friend. Keep going.
Anyway. We know that they're going to be following up with stories and man on the street, and their editors, eggheads, are going to be sitting around in rooms saying, oh, well, we need to flush out this Mike Evans thing. I want you to ask 6 guys
and
on the team.
And they're certainly not going to condemn him, Lee.
No.
The Tampa Bay Times not going to condemn him.
So there will be a lot of the newspaper pushing the envelope on Mike Evans and where does this go and what does this mean in our community and all that stuff. So they will give it legs.
I don't think he's got the name recognition of a Kaepernick, especially the position he plays. Quarterback always gets a little more recognition. Even the Kaepernick story's dying a little bit.
Well, here's why it's dying, because the clown said he never
voted. Because he said he didn't vote.
And everybody rightly is considering him a fraud as a result.
I'm with them.
Yeah.
I think he's a fraud.
I'm telling you, Ira, our local media will push this. They'll push this, and they'll push it in a lot of different directions. And it won't be long before somebody catches up to Mr. Vincent Jackson, hero of the local military, and gets his take. And
you see how his bits mind works, Lee?
Yeah, see, this is a big military town.
And now that Vincent Jackson, let's keep it real here, is never going to wear a Bucks uniform again, he might have a different attitude toward his response. But I don't know. We're all speculating here. Hey, Ira, any final comments on this Buccaneers dominance on Sunday?
Lee, let's be brutally honest. We're not used to routine Buck victories. and I don't care who you're playing at this point. I really don't. Guys, let's remember one thing. I'm not making this up. The Bears were favored.
Sure.
The Bears were favored
because
they got 3 points for playing at Raymond James Stadium, considering how the Bucks were playing at home. I believe the Bears are winless on the road, Steve. And the Bucks now claim their first home victory under Dirk Cutter.
Amen.
Got one under his belt.
Hallelujah.
and, Steve, should they follow up in my beloved Kansas City and not gorge too much on barbecue, Steve, on Saturday night?
Joe's burnt ends.
They will come home 5-5. Can I have a hallelujah over there, Steven? One more?
They didn't win yet.
All right, there you go.
Look,
it was a very nice victory, and I don't care that they played the Bears.
It was a very nice victory. And like Steve said earlier, I really don't know how to take it because I don't know if it was the bad Jay Cutler or the good. Yeah, Cutler stunk. Was that because of the Bucs defense? Or, again, as I stated earlier, was that the typical Cutler roller coaster where he was on the down cycle? I don't know. But here's the thing. You probably know this guy. You should know this guy. You're the custodian of Canton. You know Hub Arkish, don't you?
Of course I know Hub Arkish.
Well, Arkish was on CSN Chicago, and he was, he basically said the Bears had, basically he did say this, the Bears had two winnable games left on their schedule. One is the Bucks, and he added, because they're awful at home. And I wrote a story on JoeBucksFan.com. My response was, how well we know. And so I think the biggest thing out of this, outside they beat the Bears, outside they beat Cutler, outside the defense looked like it had some life, they won a flipping home game. They won a home game. And kudos and salute. Oh, I got to tell you this while I'm thinking about this. We were talking about Evans and media coverage and anti-Trump protests and all this. Somebody, I didn't catch the name, a quote-unquote news analyst on CNN referred to, and I quote-unquote here, Mazel Tov cocktail. Now, Ira, I'm guessing that's a Molotov cocktail, but instead of using gasoline oil, Manischewitz in there.
Oh, boy. I don't know how to respond to you.
First time
in my professional life, I might be speechless here.
Speechless.
A Mazel Tov cocktail.
All right, Ira. It's been fun, and I will say we can address this on our next podcast
Steve,
Thursday.
Word of the day. Relevance. Word
relevance. Of the day. This is what Lovie Smith sought. He got it last year until they bit it. But great times for Bucks fans right now. Savor.
Enjoy this one. Savor.
Savor a few days. And what's going to be a fun next podcast is Mr. Kaufman here is an absolute Chiefs fan and an expert on the team. We're going to have some great breakdowns this week as the Bucks head to Arrowhead Stadium.
See
you later.
I can get Len Dawson on the podcast.
I was going to say Lenny Dawson.
Thank you, Ira.